And of course, we've got Jim Mars for you here on Coast to Coast AM. We're going to take some of your calls and continue talking about these worldwide conspiracies, most of which could be true, on Coast to Coast AM. Jim, you were mentioning the situation in Japan. Why is it that we're not hearing much information about the radiation spill from that Fukushima plant?
Well, I'm sure because they do not want to panic the public, and I'm in total agreement with that. But I also have to say that if there's a danger, I would much prefer to hear about it so I can maybe take some precautions rather than just live in la-la land, because the leadership and their control over the mass media has decided for me that I don't need to hear about things like that. Chernobyl has just been a disaster, and yet Chernobyl only leaked radiation for about 10 days
before
they got it all sealed off. Those reactors over in Japan, where, by the way, they're still anticipating further shocks and problems, are still spewing with no end in sight. In fact, the latest is they think that some of the rods have actually melted down. But let me explain this, because I think the reason you're not hearing about this is because of several things. I think mostly it's because the nuclear industry doesn't want everybody to know how bad this is, or we would be doing like Germany's doing and just ordering all nuclear plants shut down. And that would be a loss of money to the big guys that own the media, so they're not going to talk about it. That's why they've also, apparently, from what I understand, closed down any kind of government air monitoring. They have briefly spoken a little bit about iodine radiation, mm-hmm. but you don't hear anything about plutonium or cesium or some of this.
Or the food supply.
Yeah, or the food supply, although the tainted milk has already turned up on the West Coast in California. But the problem, George, is that to try to tell somebody whether or not you're in danger, you have to know how much radiation they've received, what kind of radiation it is. Did they receive it as fallout on their skin, or have they taken it internally, which is a much worse scenario? And then you get to the thing that apparently, from what I know, it's an individual thing. If you and I get the same dose of radiation and your immunization system is pretty strong, and you may be able to resist the effects of it and just go on, but if my immunization system is pretty low, then it may certainly cause cancer,
sure,
other problems with me. So in other words, you can't just say it's going to do this, because it's all going to be different, and depending, you know, you could live 5 miles from me and you might get into a wind pattern that would carry you much more radiation than I'm going to get. I think that's a big problem right there, is that they cannot really quantify it or qualify it. But I think the main thing is that they just want our minds off of it, so we don't start thinking, well, gee, maybe I better start buying a Geiger counter and checking the milk every time I go to the store. And also, it's a slow process. They're years after the bombing of Nagasaki and Hiroshima, people were dying from bomb-related cancers. And I venture to say that in 10 years, 20 years, the cancer rate's going to just go through the ceiling. But, of course, by that time, we'll have a whole new generation in. And since they're not talking about it now, they won't be talking about it then. And, oh, well, gee, he just got cancer. And they're not going to connect it to this radiation release that we're experiencing right now.
Right. No, I agree with you on that. And they will be so far removed from this episode, they'll never connect it.
Right. And unfortunately, see, that's why we don't have a cure for cancer, because there's more people making a living off of cancer than are dying from it.
They lose billions if there's a cure.
Billions, absolutely. And it's the old journalist adage, follow the money.
Meanwhile, you've got a doctor in Italy simply using sodium bicarbonate,
right,
to wipe out and eradicate the tumors.
Right. But hey, wait a minute, George. If they do that, how are they going to make their billions off that god-awful chemotherapy?
Well, the only way you can do it, I guess, is to make sodium bicarbonate a prescription.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're going to have a hard time with that. Although they're trying to do everything else, Codex Alimentarius there has already pushed through in Europe, and they're now working to try to tie us into the European standards, which means they're going to try to push that under probably a different name here through our Congress under some sort of a drug safety, food safety act. And they've been working on this for a long time, and up till now there's been enough opposition, but they're wearing it down, and time goes by, people forget. They'll finally push it through. And what I'm getting at is, if they ever get this through and they're working on it, you're going to have to go and pay for a doctor's call to get a prescription so you can get some vitamins.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what they want. They want to control it and make the money.
Yeah, exactly. And this is, it's the antithesis of the idea of freedom. I mean, they talk a lot about democracy, but I'd rather talk about freedom. Why can't we be free? Why can't we just be free to do the things we want to do? And by the way, before it slips my mind again, we need to talk again in maybe a month and a half or 2 months, because my book, The $1 Trillion Conspiracy, will be coming out again in a soft cover edition. And in there is a 20-25 page updated forward that brings everything right on up to date, I guess, except with the Japan situation and with Osama. Right. But one of the things, I'll give you a little foretaste. For how many years now, our government has told us that marijuana is bad and we've got to make it illegal. Never mind the best, hemp is the best source of paper and clothing.
And it could be a fuel, too.
And fuel. But no, we can't have that because it's a terrible drug, even though by every study that's ever been done, there has been absolutely no deaths from overdose of marijuana. None, zero, nada. Okay? But now the reason I bring this up is because even some states now have passed laws legalizing medical marijuana, and yet the federal government still goes in and arrests people and busts the medical marijuana stores and everything else. Now, how's this for hypocrisy? Because what you're going to read in my new updated $1 Trillion Conspiracy is the fact that some years ago, the federal government obtained a patent on medical marijuana. So I guess they're just waiting until they can get a total monopoly on it.
Right. They've already told the states that are, been working on medicinal marijuana, hey, stop it. Not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And yet they turn around and get a patent on medical marijuana. And in the patent, it says this would alleviate a lot of the problems associated with Alzheimer's and with cancer and, various and sundry other diseases.
When you go on speaking engagements, you got one coming up, Whitley's event's coming up, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, what do people want to know from you the most, Jim?
Oh, yeah, just any number of things, because unless you're just a news junkie and you keep up with the news day to day to day, as journalists we have to kind of do, you probably run into this, George. You probably get a wide range of questions, don't you?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
They won't know. I tell you what, in one word, what people ask me, and I'm sure it's the same thing they ask you, they want the truth.
Yep.
Truth is...
whatever it is.
Whatever it is. They just want the truth. And actually, that's all I'm after. If this actually was Osama bin Laden, and if he was actually behind the attacks of 9/11, and, everything was as they said, hey, that's okay. I'd be totally on board. But I've just been at it too long. I mean, maybe I'm just getting cynical, but I don't think so. I just try to remain objective.
No, let me tell you what's happening to you, Jim, and me, and so many other people. You're not getting the questions you're asking answered.
Exactly.
That's why there's a problem.
That's right.
You know what?
Exactly.
Similar. When I watch the president Sunday night say we've got him, I really felt, you know, some exhilaration here. But and then when he said we have the body, I said, this is good. This is finally, this is good. Even though I contend bin Laden was the financier, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was one of the masterminds, and there's another group out there that probably got this done. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that they were all working together because they want to topple the way you and I live, right? They want to kill
I don't want anyone to mistake things I say, that the fact that I don't think there's any Muslim fanatics in the Middle East that wouldn't like to come over here and
cut your head off.
Yeah, cause death and destruction. But the thing, George, is that most of those people, I have talked to people who've tried to train, you know, some of these Arabs that come over for flight training, and they barely know how to drive a car. And if you've actually studied 9/11, you'll realize that's the same case with these people. Hani Hanjour supposedly did this miraculous piece of flying, a Boeing 757, did a 180-degree spiraling turn, leveled out at ground level, pushed the throttle up to over 500 miles an hour, and unerringly found his way to the end of the West Wall of Pentagon.
Yeah,
and the pilots I talked to say, man, I couldn't do that on my best day. And yet this was a guy that just a few months before they had refused to let him rent a Cessna because he couldn't even fly. He just didn't know the airplane. So, yeah, these people are over there, but they would not be causing us any great problem unless the people in charge over here wanted that problem. And of course we haven't got the whole program to discuss Carol Rowley and the FBI people that were trying to say, look what they're doing, they're going to try to attack us, and all the information's, in fact, we heard it even publicly during the 9/11 commission hearings when it was said, the condition red lights were just going off all over the place. They knew.
Well, and let me tell you what else they knew. This is, to me, the biggest problem. Pakistan knew. They knew where bin Laden was.
Sure.
They knew he was there. And this country possesses nukes. If they would support him and hide him, what's to say that they haven't given dirty bomb material to these crazed fundamentalists who want to detonate them in the United States?
Well, that's true, too. And I see that as the big... That's the next stepping stone just before we have to worry about an attack from space. The next one's going to be a dirty bomb or some sort of nuclear device going off in a probably middle America, you know. And I think that's a real danger. But again, my point is that it's pretty simple, George. If there was some little cell somewhere of these fanatical Muslims, and I'm not down on all Muslims, but if there was a dangerous cell, then instead of spending $1 billion a week still trying to occupy just Iraq, why don't we just take about half that money, you know, $500 million, we give it to the Israeli Mossad. They know everything that's going on in the Arab world.
They could get it done.
And then get us to tell them where they are, and then we send one of these little SEAL teams in, take out those 5 or 10 guys, and that's the end of it.
And move on.
Yeah. But, in fact, that brings up another question I'm going to ask you, George. Let's assume that they tell us the truth, big assumption, and that they really did get Osama bin Laden, and that, according to several ranking members of government, they said there's only about 50 al-Qaeda left, and they're just all running through, hiding from cave to cave in Afghanistan. Well, assuming all that's true, then where is the leaders who are saying, okay, folks, it's victory, justice is served, we've done it.
We've crushed them.
And we've crushed them, so we're going to rescind the Patriot Act. We're going to dissolve Homeland Security and let your personal safety go back to your local police department.
Mission accomplished?
Mission accomplished. Yeah. You don't hear anybody saying that, do you? In fact, what we have now is Charles Schumer, who says that we need a no-ride list for the trains. Okay? If you're a suspect, you can't ride a train. And he wants to put TSA stations at all the train stations, which they're already beginning to do. And so then, if you decide, I'm sticking their hand down your pants at the airport, then they're going to do it at the train station. What are they trying to do? Make everybody stay home?
And then it'll be at the bus station.
Exactly. And that's already happening, too.
Amazing. All right, let's take some calls here, Jimmy. Let's go to Ron in Lewisburg, North Carolina. You're on with us. Go ahead, Ron.
Good morning, Jim and George. Thanks for having taking my
sure
call.
Sure thing.
Howdy.
How you doing? I'm ex-Coast Guard, and talking about conspiracies and covers-up. I was aboard a Coast Guard cutter back in the 70s, and there was about 147 guys on this ship, and probably about 80, 90% of us saw there was a UFO. We were probably, I would think we were in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, up towards Greenland. And everybody came out. We were watching this UFO. Actually had a marine science technician, had some state-of-the-art cameras, took pictures of all this thing. And I was a radioman aboard the ship. I actually had to send an encrypted radio teletype message to Washington, D.C. about this thing. And when we got into our dock, as we were docking, this was back before, Men in Black, I ever knew anything about this. All these men, it was just like Men in Black with the sunglasses and all, came on the dock and they come on board our ship. And they started, nobody was allowed to get off the ship until we were all interviewed and interrogated. We all had to sign affidavits saying we never saw nothing. We were threatened our lives if we did go to and say anything that we'd be you nobody would ever find us again. But there was definitely a UFO, and I saw it, and so did a lot of other crewmen saw it, and the government completely covered it all up.
That's a great. This sounds like a Linda Moulton Howe investigation, Jimmy.
It really does, and thank you so much for relating that. I don't doubt that a bit. It fits right in with numerous other things now. Folks, we're not talking about the 70s. We're talking about a Coast Guardsman on a Coast Guard cutter with a lot of other guys. And if I heard him correctly, they were actually, their lives were threatened if they talked about it. Is that right, caller? I guess he's gone.
I'm here.
Oh, do you feel like that they actually threatened your life?
Yeah, they definitely threatened our lives. They said if we would go to the news media or anybody first they made a signed affidavit saying that you weren't going to get off the ship until you signed this. That if you did, we've got a signed affidavit saying that you didn't see nothing. And that if we did go and report this story, they said you would nobody would ever find your body again.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I mean, no, they have definitely threatened our lives.
So now
these are the Men in Black.
So on the one hand, for all this time, and actually still today, they don't really just come out and say it anymore. But all these years, 60, 70 years, the government in so many words has said there's no such thing. And yet when the caller and all his comrades on this Coast Guard cutter say, yeah, there is such a thing, their lives are threatened. Come on, folks. Wake up.
That's one of the biggest stories about. And you know what? Part of me, before the president announced the bin Laden story, I thought he was coming out about disclosure. I was hoping that was going to be one of the things he talked about.
Well, George, it may be just a short time in coming. I think, though, that things they're holding that back as an ace card. That's going to be the thing that'll totally distract us and get us all going around in circles.
More calls with Jim Mars in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Pacific time, we'll have our video chat for you Coast Insiders, so jump on board. It's kind of a fun half hour that we do when I'm in Los Angeles once a month. And I don't know if we're going to experiment with this tomorrow night or not. I'll know that tomorrow night, but I may keep it open during the commercial breaks so you can just keep your video computer system just locked right onto us, and you'll come on and I'll be there during the commercials. We'll chat a little bit during the show, too. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Jim, as you know, every year we'll do our Kennedy assassination show in November. In this particular case, let me ask you a few questions about this whole scenario as well. Why are so many documents still suppressed? How come they don't just release everything?
Because it might point to the truth.
Simple as that.
Simple as that. The Kennedy assassination, folks, was a coup d'etat in the United States. All right? And is some elected official or some would-be president or would-be congressman going to tell you that? No. Because they've got to keep up the pretense. And actually, that kind of leads me into what I want to say about that caller that was aboard the Coast Guard's cutter.
Yeah.
Because the basic question that came out of that was, you know, why are they covering all that up, right?
Yeah. Well why not just tell us?
Before I tell you that, though, and before it slips my mind, I just got to tell you, George, I really appreciate your promo that's been playing with you and Jesse Ventura. And you and Jesse both apparently kind of agreed that it was the Kennedy assassination that got you started.
That's right.
On everything.
And I was 13 when that happened, Jim.
Wow. You
know, that's even at that age, I begin to say, things just aren't right. They just don't seem to be what they are.
Well, thanks a lot, George. You really made me feel old. No, but what all I want to say was that I felt very gratified about this. I thought this was cool. A few months ago when I met with Jesse Ventura in Dallas, he told me the same thing, but with an added tidbit. He said the thing that got him started was when he read my book, Crossfire.
That's super.
And you know,
deserve it.
It's all in there, George. It's all in there. I know you've read it.
Yep.
But you know what? I bet a lot of people have not read it because I constantly get emails and calls and stuff and people asking certain questions about the Kennedy assassination. And I just want to jump through the computer or jump through the phone and say, it's in my book. But see, Crossfire is still in publication. But you know, you're not going to go in a bookstore and find it sitting on the shelf. You got to go to Amazon, or you got to ask the bookstore to order you a copy, and they will, and you can get it. But isn't that interesting that with all the garbage out there, the one book that has been a turnaround for so many people, you can't just find it on a bookshelf somewhere. Well, enough of that. I just wonder about that. But here's the whole thing about why do they want to keep all these secrets, all right? And this might fit into everything that we've talked about, George. Because, you see, they have come to the understanding that war, or more specifically, national defense, is the principal organizing force and the essential economic stabilizer of a modern society. When you look at the Constitution, the federal government of the United States was only given two powers, okay? They had the power to coin and regulate money and to provide for the common defense. And it's that provide for the common defense that's the key thing. Because right now, you know, you've had plenty of guests who talk about the war machine, mm-hmm. the Defense Department. And all of the money that we're blowing, and I say blowing, on national defense. And this is the reason for the secrecy over UFOs. They don't really care if you know that there may be some extraterrestrials out there that come fly around here every now and then, sometimes even land, suck up some water, whatever it is they're after. Maybe a cow.
Or us.
Yeah, possibly. But they don't really care if you know that. What they care about is that, number one, they don't want you to know that there's technology out there that we're not privy to and that we don't have.
Right. That they may have.
They have it. Yeah. We don't have it. Yeah. They don't want us to know that, but these guys in charge, they want it, okay? Now, the second thing is that if indeed defense is the principal organizing force of any nation, how can they maintain this huge military budget if they have to come out and say, Yeah, folks, there's things flying around in our skies, sometimes over our air bases and over our military installations, and we're not real sure who they are, but they won't stop, and we can't stop
them. We can't stop them. They can shut our nukes down anytime they want.
That's right. Well, then it wouldn't be long before even the dullest of us would be going, well, then wait a minute. Why am I paying all these taxes for defense when you have no defense against that? Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that's a good point. Next up, let's go to wild card line, Pat, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi. Hi, Pat.
Hey, George. How you doing, man?
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
I have hit the lucky jackpot tonight. I got Jim Mars and I got you. I want to pick up from December or early January. We spoke about these two guys that came up with the carburetor, remember?
Right, that got that incredible mileage.
They got 165 miles a gallon out of a clunker by building what looked like a cigar box, which is nothing but an evaporator, and they made it on the Today Show, and they vanished off the face of the planet.
I can't even find them.
Well, yeah. If they're lucky, they're still alive.
I don't know how the suits, upstairs let them on.
They might have been bought off.
Yeah.
I'm sure they were at least bought off.
Well, yeah, but along with the bought off was probably, now we don't want to hear any more out of you.
Yeah, and here's your $2 million.
Yeah, here's all this money. Now you just go off and have a nice life and don't be telling anybody about that carburetor.
How often does that suppressed technology buyout occur, Jim?
Oh, I could go back over my career, and I can think right off the hand of at least half dozen times, and it's probably much more than that. Suppressed technology. I mean, there's been books written about suppressed technology. And I'll tell you, here's the thing right now. People are griping about the price of gasoline right now. And, of course, I live in a gasoline state, petroleum, big petroleum-producing state here in Texas.
So you love it when it's over $5.
I would if I owned any part of that. I'm like you. I have to pay at the pump.
Yep.
And it really gripes me. But I'll tell you what, having gone through the phony gasoline shortage of 1973, 74, whenever it was, when the flags were outside the gas stations, you know, I decided back then I'm a little guy. I can't worry about the price of gasoline. It's just, if I got to have it, I got to have it.
That's right. $36 for 8 gallons today.
Yeah.
$36 for 8 gallons.
But now here's the thing nobody thinks about, George. It's not really that the price of gasoline has gone up. That was one of the reasons that we were down on Gaddafi. Is because that Libyan oil was still selling for around $10 a barrel. Well, at $10 a barrel, that's what it was selling for back in the 70s, when gasoline was, 75 cents a dollar a gallon.
That's right.
So wait a minute. If they're making money on $10 a barrel oil, why is it still $10? And now we're paying $4 plus. Okay, so the answer is, and this is what nobody thinks about, it's not really the price of gasoline went up. It's that the worth of our dollar has gone down. It's called inflation. But they don't want to talk about that.
Let's go back to Pat, make sure he's got everything in. Pat, did you want to ask a question?
Jim, I'm sitting here looking at Rise of the Fourth Reich, Rule by Secrecy. And I want to know, what will it take to get this information about these type carburetors out to the general public and get it wide known, widespread? I mean, I've known of a half dozen guys that have come up with this, and I ran seismic lines all over Texas, and I'm not an idiot about these things, but it's so simple to make a car that burns on evaporation of gas rather than trying to turn the liquid gas into a gaseous substance, just let it burn the evaporation.
Yeah, you're right. In fact, In fact, you could do that. You could, in fact, in India now, they're building cars that run on compressed air. And there's always, since back in the 1920s.
It's a little tiny car, but it's neat, isn't it?
It's little, but it goes.
Is it the Tata or something like that?
Something like that.
I better be careful what I say.
Yeah, yeah, really. But in the 20s, they were driving electric cars. We could be burning hydrogen, which is a non-polluting fuel. I mean, all kinds of things. You're absolutely right about that. And besides that, we're choking ourselves to death on the fumes and the pollution that's created by that. And why haven't we heard about all of these other alternatives? Because, my friend, the same people that own the big stock in the giant petroleum companies also own the same stock in the big media companies. Okay? So you don't talk about things. For example, was it NBC's owned by General Electric? So, you know, that's why you don't hear about the Fukushima plant spewing radiation. A whole lot on NBC.
By the way, it is Tata Motors, by the way. T-A-T-A.
Tata.
And it's out of India, right? Mm-hmm. And they're making this compressed air little car.
George, I could never handle one of those because I live out here in the wide wilds of Texas. I got to have something to get me down the road at high speed for a long way.
You like those muscle cars. I know what you're driving.
That's right. But, no, actually, I got a Prius. So I got half electric. Okay.
Good for you.
But if you're in a town, say you live in the suburbs, and all you got to do is get to the rail station, or all your wife needs to do is just go down to the shopping center and back home, a little compressed car would be great. This past weekend, I was at a little town in East Texas, and they had a parade, and they had some, you know, celebrations going on. And I saw a bunch of little, basically golf carts, but they had bodies on them. I mean, one of them looked kind of like an MG, and another looked like a 1929.
Those are great little
Ford.
Runabouts.
Yeah, and they really look cute. And I mean, they run all day on a charge of electricity.
Let's go to Dale in Jamestown, Missouri. First time caller. Hey, Dale. Thank you. Go ahead.
Hey, good George. I know you're a Navy guy, Jim. I don't know your history, but
Army.
All right, good job.
Well, that explains it, Marty.
All right. Now.
1970, I'm a 20-year-old Marine walking through Dulles Airport with orders to proceed to Da Nang. Okay, so it's a long flight. I look at the bookshelf in the airport in Dulles, and there on the shelf is Report from Iron Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
I read that book on the way over to L.A., and it changed my life.
Did it read like a joke to you?
No, I got it. It
made sense, didn't it?
It made sense to me. It struck me. I understood what in the hell is going on here.
That's why they've had to shut down discussion about the report from Iron Mountain and try to claim that it was some sort of a joke and a parody, and you can't even find a copy anymore.
I held it in my hands.
Oh,
listen,
yeah.
Boys, I'm going to tie it up for you here. Let's fast forward. I come home. I buy 25 acres. I hand dig a well. I start planting corn and beans. I raised an Eagle Scout boy who was killed in Iraq in the year 2006. It's been 5 years now. Okay. Now, listen, I think I'm trying to do, I got 14 grandkids. I'm trying to do the right thing. I plowed up my front yard. I got open pollinated corn. I'm growing wheat and beans. I'm obsessed by this thing. It's 2:30 in the morning. I'm sitting here drinking Irish whiskey and cleaning my weapons. I think I'm prepared. I'm an old Boy Scout too. And here's the thing. These guys don't know what they've unleashed. I think the elites are in for quite a surprise. They think they're going to be on top of this thing. But they don't know the hell they have unchocked wheels.
And I think they're scared, Dale.
They've unchocked wheels of hell. So,
Dale, let me tell you, brother, you're not alone. I live down here in rural Texas, and I guarantee you, I don't care who comes in here. They're going to have a hard time trying to round us up.
Well, yeah, I know there's a lot of fence rows between here and Long Beach. Okay? You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And listen, we could do a show on this, but here's the point. Here's the dilemma. Here's the thing I'm going to throw out here for you. Tie this up. We can be prepared. We can be ready. Here's the dilemma. What are you going to do when they come up to your front door and they're starving kids? I mean, there's three types of people out here. You got the sheep, you got the wolves, and you have the sheepdogs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a sheepdog, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're probably sheepdogs. I know you guys. So, I mean, it's going to be a real dilemma, and that's what we got to search our hearts for.
Right.
I mean, because we're in for rough sailing, boys.
Well, let me tell you, Dale, here's the only thing I've come up with, because I've wrestled around with that same problem. And I'm a good-hearted person. If I see somebody in need, I'm the type of guy, and I have many times, see somebody stop by the side of the road having a car problem, I stop and try to help them, okay? So I cannot see myself just turning my back on my fellow citizens. But on the other hand, you know, if they take everything you've got, then nobody's helped. I think the thing you need to do is wherever you are right now, you need to start just talking around, checking around, find out who your neighbors are that are thinking along the same lines you are, and just start setting up a rudimentary organization so that if things really get rough, you guys could all pull together, share equipment, share knowledge, share expertise, and then if hopefully kids around you aren't going to go hungry, and if you do have some that their parents had not taken the pill and were still in the dark and they are hungry, then hopefully you and your neighbors will be able to chip in and help them get by, and we'll all pull together just like this nation did in the 1930s.
Oh, I hope so, Jim. I hope so indeed. What's new on your plate, Jim?
Well, I've got the $1 trillion conspiracy coming up I think it's towards the end of June. And end of July, my 9/11 book, The Terror Conspiracy, I think that we're going to call it The Terror Conspiracy Revisited, is coming out with a whole lot of new stuff in it. And again, this is one of these books, I'm not really trying to tout it so much, but by golly, if you just read my book and see all that information put together, get it in book form so you can go back and look at it, nobody's deleted it, okay, you will understand what's going on. Oh, and there's some real exciting news, a little premature right now, but I am working on a new website, and when I get that done, I think everybody's just going to go, ooh, ah.
Super. We'd love to crash it for you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that would be pretty nice.
We've done that before. Jim, stay with us. We're going to come back in just a moment. We're going to take final phone calls with you right here on Coast to Coast AM. If you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. And when we come back, we will take more phone calls with Jim Mars. We've got him for just one more hour. So get ready to let your fingers do the walking right here on Coast to Coast AM.